Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. 521 years ago, and our public schools will observe that event, as I mentioned with the children, by having a holiday. The schools closed, no mail delivery. Some banks closed, others very limited hours. And a few stores will do what few stores always do, and that is have special sales tomorrow. There will be a parade in New York City, but otherwise the day will probably go by unmarked. For some reason or other, Columbus Day is not played up anymore. In fact, I still remember back 21 years ago when we had the 500th anniversary. And for months there had been talk about a big celebration, but that big celebration fizzled. The only real stir that the 500th anniversary caused were protests coming from various sources. There were those, for instance, who said to declare that saying Columbus discovered America really showed insensitivity, because though it was new to him, it certainly wasn't new to the people who lived here already. And secondly, his arrival signified the beginning of the exploitation of the natives, whom he came to call Indians because he thought he had arrived in India. That argument was put forward in a book titled The Conquest of Paradise by Kirkpatrick Sale. One young boy who read that book said to his father, "Dad, this guy Columbus was a real bum, wasn't he?" One of my friends in the South Country Peace Group, who is an Italian, told me that as a young boy, Columbus was his hero. Later, when he did some reading of this early period of the history of this land, the picture of Columbus really changed for him dramatically. In fact, several years ago, our own Synod of the Northeast of the Presbyterian Church heard some very impassioned speeches from some Native Americans, and the Synod passed a motion that in our Presbyterian Church we celebrate today as Native American Sunday. The resolution from the Synod spoke of how the economic and evangelistic goals that led Columbus to this land in 1492 were actually used for the subjection of Native peoples throughout the Americas and the destruction of their cultures and religions. And the resolution spoke also of the violence that, though unknown to pre-Columbian America, was raised to a new brutal and unsustained level of institutional racism subsequent to the arrival of Christopher Columbus. I declared when I was preparing this sermon, or I should say I decided when I was preparing this sermon, to turn to the Sons of Italy, the biggest and oldest national organization for people of Italian heritage in the United States, to see if they released a statement for Columbus Day 2013, and yes, they did this past Tuesday. And after indicating three reasons for the importance of celebrating Columbus Day, namely how Columbus opened permanently communication between Europe and the Americas, and secondly, the holiday recognizes the contributions and the achievements and the sacrifices of the 26 million Italian Americans, thirdly, because of the culture they brought to this new land, and then speaking to what the statement called, and I quote, "the revisionist history who paint Columbus as a villain," it said he was really just a man of his times, end of quote. You know, I've always enjoyed the description of the voyage of Columbus in Samuel Eliot Morison's significant work, The Oxford History of the American People. Professor Morison of Harvard University wrote, and I quote, "America was discovered accidentally by a great seaman who was looking for something else. When discovered, it was not wanted, and most of the exploration for the next 50 years was done in the hope of getting through it or around it. America was named after a man who discovered no part of the New World. History is like that," said Morison. "It's very chancy." End of quote. Let me take just a couple minutes to describe the background of the voyage of Columbus. And it was back in 1484 that Columbus presented his project of a westward voyage to King John II of Portugal. His arguments were in order, but his knowledge of global geography was way off. He figured by miscalculations that the distance between the Canary Islands and Japan was probably a distance of around 2,400 miles. And the actual distance without America being in the way would have calculated out to be 11,000 miles. A distance of 2,400 miles did not seem to be an unacceptable risk for a seasoned sailor such as Columbus, but the Portuguese came to the conclusion that his calculations were wrong and they vetoed his project. It was about the same time that his wife died, so Columbus had no real reason to remain in Portugal, so off to Spain he went with his son Diego. And for the next several years, Columbus was a pain in the butt to people as he kept pursuing his project. His persistence, however, got him an appointment with Isabella the Queen, and her advisors also dismissed the calculations that Columbus made. But a rejected Columbus just kept pursuing his dream. He kept in contact with King John II of Portugal. He also wrote to King Henry VII of England and Charles VIII of France. All to no avail. But in the fall of 1491, Columbus had another interview with Queen Isabella, in which he asked for the title of Admiral of the Sea and 1/10 of the riches that he would discover, hope to discover, would hope to discover. Such demands were seen as really arrogant or extravagant, and once again it looked as though Columbus was going no place. But one of the Queen's advisors became the strong advocate for Columbus, and Columbus was assured money. And 8 months later, he took sail into the unknown, along with 90 sailors, following onto the oaken decks of, as you learned as a kid, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Now, we may question his motives, but Columbus accomplished nearly an impossible task. Columbus the seeker, Columbus the discoverer, often discovering something quite different from what he sought. And in reading about him this past week once again, I found that the questions are questions that I could redirect to myself, and really questions for all of us to ponder as we sail the voyage of life. And I suggest that you ask them with me this morning. What am I looking for? What am I finding? And then what? You see, perhaps our goals, our dreams, our ambitions, those things that give direction to our sailing, keep changing for us. But how would you give answer to that question? What are you looking for in life? Are you like Columbus in search of wealth and fame? Maybe those words seem a little too grandiose, so perhaps they could be answered a little differently. Maybe simply financial security. And I hope people will remember me as accomplishing something that's worthwhile in life. What are you looking for? When you were young, did you have dreams that never got realized? And now in your maturity, what have you really discovered and maybe are still discovering? Are your discoveries as you have moved through life include serendipities for you? That is, discoveries that are even better than what you were first seeking. Are your discoveries in life really enriching you? Are they rewarding to you, even if they are so different from what your searches had entailed? Or are you simply discovering all negatives in life? Just all pain. No joy. Just disappointments. One of the most quoted passages from Scripture is the one from the 11th chapter of Luke, which Linda read this morning. It talks directly about seeking and discovering. Ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Those words of Jesus are said in the context of being persistent and persevering in our prayer life. Perhaps our tendency when we read those words is to understand them to mean that we will receive exactly what we asked for. And behind that closed door is just what we have always longed for and prayed for. But that's not the case. Sometimes our experiences are much more like those of Christopher Columbus, where our searching, our asking, and our knocking lead to discoveries that not only surprise us because they were not expected, but they also open us to new opportunities and new challenges that we had never dreamed of. It's then that the third question in our series of three questions really becomes particularly important. If in your searching you discover that which you were not looking for, then what? What do you do with the new challenges and the new opportunities that we have discovered as a result of our searching? I've come to realize personally that they can produce new life for me. They can call forth your very best creative endeavors. They can provide you with new avenues of service that you never dreamed of, let alone really searched for. You know, I think there is a final word that needs to be said on this topic of searching and discovering. It's the message that follows the verses immediately following those that Jesus commanded to ask and search and knock. He said, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would you give him a snake instead of a fish? Or in asking for an egg, would he receive a scorpion instead? That message is simply, trust your Heavenly Father. Maybe you're seeking, you're asking, you're knocking will not lead to exactly what you want, but trust. You know, I feel that trust is the most important word in our whole Christian vocabulary. In fact, trust is the very essence of our Christian faith. Trust is what makes it possible for us to continue on life's pilgrimage with confidence and with hope. Trust is the basic element for living. The newborn child trusting in the arms of the parent, as you see demonstrated right there. The same child at the end of life's journey, whether it be in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or beyond, at the threshold of an entrance into eternal rest, still trusting as the son or the daughter of God held in God's everlasting arms. And not only at the beginning, but at the ending of life, and also all along life's path. Trusting. Ever trusting. I know in whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen.